KSDP 830 AM Sandpoint, K201DA King Cove, KFPS False Pass.
Welcome to Native America Calling. I'm Sean Spruce. Love is in the air today, but it doesn't have to be just about flowers, chocolates, and Hallmark Channel romance movies. There is plenty of romantic inspiration and a few cautionary tales from traditional Native American stories. We have love stories passed down through the ages and a modern-day twist on cultural connections for Valentine's Day today. We'll hear all about it right after the news.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. As the new chair of the Senate Indian Affairs Committee, Senator Lisa Murkowski of Alaska was one of the featured speakers at the National Congress of American Indians winter session in Washington, D.C. this week. As KNBA's Rhonda McBride tells us, she encouraged tribes to stand up for their rights.
Senator Lisa Murkowski says she's worried about President Trump's executive orders to shut down programs that promote diversity, equity, and inclusion. She says the administration must not be allowed to apply these initiatives to tribes.
This is a different category altogether, folks.
Murkowski says this needs to be made clear to the new administration.
The federal government is charged with moral obligations of the highest responsibility and trust towards Native Indian tribes. And it's that trust responsibility that we're talking about here.
Murkowski told the group she's encouraged by a directive from the Interior Department that says the president's DEI initiatives do not override the department's pre-existing legal obligations to tribes. But the senator says she does appreciate the administration's desire to make government more efficient.
But how we achieve it matters.
Murkowski says, above all, the administration needs to follow the law. The senator drew the most reaction from the crowd when she compared the current political climate to boating in the rough seas of Southeast Alaska, when it's not easy to find safe harbor.
I think we got people vomiting off both sides of the boat, and it's just kind of tumultuous now. So
Murkowski says she's heard that some tribes have had trouble accessing their federal money. She encouraged them to contact her Indian Affairs Committee so it can keep track. The senator also noted that the president's Department of Government Efficiency should look to tribes and their success in using tribal compacts, a self-governance mechanism that has saved the federal government millions of dollars. In Anchorage, I'm Rhonda McBride.
Representative Sharice Davids of Kansas and Melanie Stansberry and Teresa Legere Fernandez of New Mexico sent a letter this week to U.S. Secretary of the Interior Doug Burgum, raising concerns about Indian education. In the letter, they outlined their opposition of the president's order, expanding educational freedom and opportunity for families. They're concerned it would dismantle the Bureau of Indian Education. The lawmakers wrote the U.S. government has both trust and treaty responsibilities to provide tribal education services, led by the Bureau of Indian Education under the Department of the Interior. The lawmakers say the BIE administers funds for hundreds of schools and programs, and for Native communities, there are few to no other options. The lawmakers are urging Burgum to engage in tribal consultation and ensure that BIE programs are fully funded. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has been sworn in as the Secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services, which oversees the Indian Health Service. Kennedy has promised to elevate Indian health in the agency. During his confirmation hearing, he committed to addressing Indian health care.
I'm going to bring in a Native at the Assistant Secretary level. I'd like to get him actually designated as a Assistant Secretary for the first time in American history. Ensure that all of the decisions that we make in our agency are conscious of their impacts on the First Nations.
In a social media post, the IHS said it looks forward to working with Kennedy with its effort to strengthen healthcare services, expand access, and improve health outcomes for American Indian and Alaska Native communities. The IHS provides health services to more than 2 million American Indians and Alaska Natives in 37 states. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation with funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Support by the American Indian College Fund, providing millions of dollars of scholarships to Native students every year. Applications are accepted through May 31st at collegefund.org or by phone at 800-766-FUND.
DT Track, your healthcare partner, provides access to a nationwide network of qualified healthcare temporary staff, including medical billing professionals that optimize your revenue cycles. More at dt-track.com who support this show. Support provided by First National Bank Alaska, offering a one-solution, tailored approach to meet the financial needs of Alaskans by providing banking services, loans, investments, and more to help shape a brighter tomorrow. Learn more at fnbalaska.com.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Sean Spruce. By now, a lot of couples have shared a box of chocolates, a heart-shaped pastry, or made reservations for a romantic dinner out. There might even be fresh flowers on your mantle right now. Valentine's Day is a time for couples to connect, reaffirm, and celebrate their love for each other. We're going to take the opportunity to hear love stories today that might help strengthen and move those connections along. We have a couple of traditional stories that reveal the power of love. We also have a traditional take on a contemporary love connection that ties into the love people have for each other in their communities. What is your love story that you're reflecting on today? We'd love to weave your romance into the show, too. Just give us a call and share your story, 1-800-996-2848. That number's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. Let's now meet today's guests. Joining us from Anchorage, Alaska is Yari Walker, a tribal healer and traditional storyteller. She is Yupik from St. Lawrence Island, Alaska. Happy Valentine's Day, Yari, and welcome back to Native America Calling.
Thank you so much. It's nice to be back again.
It's great to have you. Also joining us today from Chichilta, New Mexico, is Sunny Dooley. She is a Hozoji Hané teller. She is Diné. Happy Valentine's to you, Sunny, as well, and welcome back to NAC.
Oh, yeah, hey, thank you for inviting me back. It's a pleasure to be here, and happy Valentine's Day to you, too.
Thank you, Sunny. I sure do appreciate that. And, Yari, I want to begin with you. You have a story for us today, and it's a personal one about your own wedding. Would you like to set the scene for us first, or you just want to jump right in and tell us all about it?
Absolutely, positively. So, my husband and I, we've been married for 11 years now. He's actually from High Point, North Carolina. He's African-American, and his name is Mark Walker. But we first started dating in 2008, and before we started dating, I was single at the time and wasn't ready to date or mingle or anything like that, but I liked him, and I watched him from a distance, but I also didn't want to reveal to him that I liked him. But eventually, I asked for his phone number, and we met up, and he told me that I really like you, and I secretly watch you from a distance. And my eyes grew really big, and I said, oh, my gosh, I used to watch you from a distance. You know, I just didn't want to reveal to him that I really liked him. But fast forward, we got engaged in 2013, March of 2013. And when we got engaged, never once did I ask for help from anybody, but help came for me. Help came for me from every direction. A woman I've never met before, who's a friend of my best friend. My best friend came to me and said, hey, I have a friend who owns a bakery, and she's offering to do her wedding cake half off. I said, what? She doesn't even know me. why did she want to do that? And then I work with David Biles. I work with this woman. And one day I came in and she said, I would like to give you a discount on your wedding dress. And I asked her, why do you want to give me a discount? She said, you're the most patient bride I've ever worked with. And that put me to tears. And then two DJs came to me and said, I would like to DJ your wedding for free. And I said, why would you guys want to do that? And then a professional photographer, I met her husband only once, one time only. He came to me and said, my wife is a professional photographer and she'd like to do your wedding pictures for free. And oh my gosh, I was bawling. I was crying so hard. And then a man who owns a catering business, who's a friend of my husband, came to me and said, I would like to cater your wedding for free. All you have to do is pay for the food. By that time, I fell on my knees. I started to cry. And my fiance asked me, is something wrong? I said, no. Remember that time I told you stories about the teachings of my grandfather? When I was growing up, being raised by my traditional elder grandparents, they taught me a lot about my Yupi culture. They taught me a lot about spirituality, our traditional values, our history. And one of the things that my grandfather told me when I was at the age of 19, he saw that I really cared about our people, our community. At the young age of 19, on my own, I started to volunteer in the community and started doing suicide prevention activities. And I started doing a lot of volunteer work, not just for that, but in different aspects in the community. My grandfather called me over and he said, now that you're doing real work for the people, I want to teach you something really important. He said, when you do good unto others, it will eventually come back to you. And when that moment comes, you will realize it. And you will come to realization, say, it's coming because I did all these things. Good karma. So basically he said, good karma will come to you. But his other teaching about karma was, in our culture, we don't wish bad karma on people. Because my grandfather said, karma is not up to man. But he talked to me about good karma. And I realized that because of all that I did in my community when I was growing up, it was coming back to me. That was the moment I realized what my grandfather was teaching me all along about his teachings about good karma. Speaking about my grandfather, when my grandmother was born, she was already arranged to marry my grandfather someday. And when she became of age to marry, they got married, but my grandmother ran away because she didn't like my grandfather. And I thought this story was kind of hilarious, how my grandmother ran away. But eventually she came back, and the two grew to love each other, and they had 13 kids together. And before my grandfather passed away, they were married for 78 years. But that's my love story between my husband and I. I feel like we were meant to be married. We have a very strong bonding relationship between him and I. We're both about growth and healing. So we constantly work on our relationship. How can we grow together? How can we fix things together? So we're always looking for ways to have a strong relationship. So that's my relationship with my husband.
Yari, that's just a beautiful, beautiful story. And then just, I wanted to clarify for our listeners. So your grandparents, that was an arranged marriage, right? And that was why your grandmother left for a little while. Maybe she just wasn't quite sure about the arranged marriage. Is that right?
That's correct. She ran away because she didn't like my grandfather.
Well, you know, what's interesting is I've heard of other, you know, folks from earlier generations, Native folks who were also in arranged marriages. And I met a woman a few years ago. Her grandparents were in an arranged marriage, and it was the same story. They stayed together for many, many years, had a bunch of kids, and they just had a very beautiful, happy, happy marriage and family. So I love hearing stories like this. And Yari, it just sounds like just everything came together for you and I've never heard of that before. All these people just offering free services for a wedding, but again, tying it back to your grandfather and those lessons about karma, it just all seems to make sense now. And what's your thought on Valentine's Day? Because there was a story out today with a headline. It was in The Guardian, the news outlet, and it said Valentine's Day may be the world's most hated holiday. What are your thoughts on today in the whole meaning of Valentine's?
I kind of have a mixed feeling about it, but for the positive side of it, I feel like it's a day in a moment of not just rekindling, but building a bond between you and your partner. And I don't know, you get this, your love spark, I guess you could call it. But for the other part, my mixed feeling about it is Valentine's Day does not traditionally come from our people, our Native people. My grandparents taught me all about love and how to be loving on a daily basis. Always use love. My grandfather used to tell me that. Always use love. Always use love. So I kind of, but I do remember that in the back of my head. Like when I'm driving and sometimes I become a impatient driver, but then I'll remember the teachings of my grandfather. And I'll say, even if the other driver can't hear me, I might say, please forgive me. Please forgive me. Remember to use love. But yeah, you use love on a daily basis the way our elders teach us.
Right, right. Yari, thank you so much for kicking off our discussion today and sharing your stories and your personal experiences. It's all about love and romance today here on Native America Calling. It is Valentine's Day, and if you'd like to join the conversation, just give us a call, 1-800-996-2848. Maybe you have a beautiful love story of your own that you'd like to share, or you want to tell us what you've got planned for today with regard to Valentine's Day with your loved ones, with your family, with your spouse, whoever that person might be. Give us a call, share your story, 1-800-996-2848. And when we come back from the other side of this break, we're going to hear another love story from the Onondaga Nation. So stay with us. The prospect of the United States acquiring Greenland is slim at best, but the fact that world leaders are talking about President Donald Trump's unlikely proposal is putting the autonomous territory in the spotlight. We'll take the opportunity to hear from representatives of Greenland's indigenous Inuit people about what they think the world should be talking about. That's on the next Native America Calling.
Support by the American Indian College Fund. The American Indian College Fund provides millions of dollars of scholarships to thousands of Native students every year. Tribal citizens of every age and experience are eligible. The deadline for applications is May 31st, and you can find everything you need to apply at collegefund.org. That's collegefund.org, or by phone at 800-766-FUND. Education is the answer.
And you don't seem to realize what's on don't swear this way, but all you want is to complain, and I'm just trying to explain. If you got a problem with your love affair, cry to someone who cares, but don't cry to me.
Thanks for tuning in to Native America Calling today. We're hearing both traditional and modern takes on the theme of love. How are you recognizing Valentine's Day? Do you have any traditional celebrations of love, either today or any other day of the year? Give us a call at 1-800-996-2848, 1-800-996-2848. And we've got a caller on the line right now, Stephanie, who is listening on Keeley Radio up in Pine Ridge, South Dakota. Stephanie, hello. Happy Valentine's Day, and thanks for calling in.
I'm Stephanie Day. Happy Valentine's Day. Thanks.
Absolutely. I understand today is your anniversary. Is that right?
Yes, and the interesting dialogue is that me and my husband are from two different tribes. So I'm up here in the north in Pine Ridge, and then my husband is he's in Phoenix, Arizona, and we're actually flying in to meet me in Denver as our way to celebrate this colonial holiday with an indigenous twist of just honoring each other and our relatives today.
Okay, this sounds super cool. So are you getting ready to catch a flight down to Denver today then?
No, I'm actually getting ready to pick up a car rental in Rapid City and then drive out with my family. So we're making it a new tradition to take our children and our grandchildren with us and just to celebrate our unity together. And it's not on Valentine's Day because we chose Valentine's Day because it'll be easy to remember, but we did have a traditional wedding blessing a year afterwards.
Oh, right on, Stephanie. And I meet a lot of couples like you folks. You're up there from South Dakota, and you mentioned your husband being down in the Southwest. How did you folks meet?
I moved down to Arizona to complete my doctorate program, and I ended up meeting my husband, who's Pascaliati and San Carlos Apache, and we honestly fell in love, and we've been together ever since, and we both love our nation, so we call ourselves broken snowbirds, but we live between our lives, and we make it work.
The million-dollar question is, though, where did you enroll your kids? That's what I always want to know with couples like you.
Oglala, of course.
All right, okay. All right, Stephanie. All right, okay. Well, thank you so much for calling in, and safe travels down to Denver for you. And again, congratulations on your anniversary. Really appreciate that call. That was Stephanie calling in, listening on Keeley Radio. Anyone else would like to join the conversation, you can do so, 1-800-99-NATIVE. Let's hear a love story now from the Onondaga Nation. Perry Ground is a Haudenosaunee storyteller, cultural educator, and a Turtle Clan member of the Onondaga Nation. He shared this traditional story in an earlier interview with NAC producer Sol Traverso. He says this story references the cultural importance of notable falls along the Genesee River in upstate New York.
One place that is very important to us is today called Letchworth Falls State Park, and there are a series of three waterfalls in this park. It's sometimes called the Grand Canyon of the East, but to us, we have a story about it that, because it's Valentine's Day, it is a love story, and it's about a young man who's very shy but finally becomes brave enough to talk to the woman he loves. We say this story happened a long, long time ago, back when the Great Turtle Island was brand new. And like many Native people, the Haudenosaunee call this place that we live on Great Turtle Island. It comes from our story of creation, how the whole world got to be here. But when the Turtle Island was new, there was a village of Haudenosaunee people located along a river that today is called Genesee. And in this village along that river, there lived a beautiful, beautiful woman. and all the men in the village and all the surrounding villages loved this woman because she was so beautiful. Many of them came to ask for her hand in marriage, but she refused all of them because she was in love with someone else. The man that she loved was very, very shy and also lived in her village, and he too loved the beautiful woman, but was too shy to approach her or to confess his love. One day, in the village, a man from far away came walking into the village wearing beautiful buckskin clothes, adorned with beautiful porcupine quill work. He had on a magnificent kashtoa, and he was a very handsome man, but he was also very full of himself. The man came striding into the village and walked right up to the longhouse of the beautiful woman. He rapped on the door, and when the door was opened to him, he stepped in and announced that he had come to take her away, that he was going to take her for his wife, and that she would love him because he was so handsome, because he was such a great hunter, because he had the finest clothes. But when the woman saw this man, oh, she said, "No, no, I will not marry you. Go back to the village that you came from." And she turned him away. But this man had told everyone in his village that he was going to bring her home, and he would be too embarrassed to return empty-handed. So that night, he hid out in the forest surrounding the village, waiting for a chance to see if he could steal her away. In the morning, the young woman woke up, as always, and went down to the river to collect some water. And now that evil man saw his chance. He sprang out of the bushes and ran up behind her and scooped her up in his arms. He ran down the river to where his canoe was landed, and he threw her in and pushed the canoe out into the river. He jumped in behind her and started to paddle away as fast as she could. The woman cried out for help, but the village was far away and no one could hear her. But one person did hear her. It was the shy man. The shy man watched her every morning as she went to collect water, and he saw the evil man try to steal her away. He knew that he had to do something. This was his chance to prove his love for her. So quickly he picked up his bow and arrow, and he went running down the shore of that river. He pulled back on his bow and notched an arrow, loosing it through the air. It flew straight and true and pierced into the shoulder of the evil man. It knocked him out of the canoe and he fell into the water, but he took the paddle with him. The woman, she cried out, "Help me, help me! There's no way I can steer this canoe now!" And the evil man pushed the canoe deeper into the river before he sank down to the bottom. The shy man, he saw what was happening. He ran along the shore of the river, following that canoe. But the river was picking up speed as it headed towards one of the great waterfalls along the Genesee. The woman tried to paddle with her hands towards the side of the river, but she couldn't fight that current. And the canoe was swept to the edge of the waterfall and tumbled over the edge. It threw the woman and the canoe down into the rapids below. The shy man ran up to the edge of that falls, and he looked down for his beloved, but he could not see her. He cried out into the air, "Hino, spirit of the falls, help me save this beautiful woman." And he dove over the cliff and into the falls. The rapids picked him up and tumbled him under the water, and he could not find the beautiful woman. But the spirit of the falls, Hino, had heard that cry, and he took pity on the two of them. He reached out his giant hand, and he scooped them out of that water. He lifted them to a cave behind the falls and set them gently down. Eventually, the shy man started coughing and spitting out the water, and he came to, and there, looking down at him, was the beautiful woman. He said to her, "Oh, I have loved you my whole life, and I'm happy that you have been saved." And to his great surprise, the woman replied, "And I have loved you my whole life also." Oh, the man was so happy, he stood up and he let out a tremendous cry of victory. And then he picked the woman up and carried her back to his village. Along the way, she sang to him a beautiful love song. And to this day, when the Haudenosaunee go to this place that today is called Letchworth Falls, when we go near the falls, we hear the tremendous roar and we hear the echo of that man's victory cry. But when we walk along the river, we hear in the leaves the whisper of the beautiful love song that the woman sang to him all those years ago. And now I will say Donahoe, which in Seneca language means I am done, or the end. And that's the end of that story. Donahoe, that story is done.
That's wonderful. Well, I mean, what's usually the response when you tell that story?
Oh, people love it. Normally when I tell my stories, not on the radio, in person, I involve the audience. And so there is a shy man, there is a beautiful woman, and somebody gets scooped up and we're paddling the canoe. And I try to make my stories very interactive and to engage the audience so that they can have fun, that they can feel a part of the story, but also to make it more memorable for them. This might be the only opportunity people have to hear or experience Native stories. So I want to give them a positive experience, so hopefully they'll seek out another opportunity to hear these great stories.
What are some of the traditions around, like, courtship back in the day?
Sure. Hundreds of years ago, it was really the tradition among the Haudenosaunee for the woman to propose marriage. And we have this tradition that some people still practice today, where when a man and a woman are getting married, she will provide marriage bread as a symbol that, you know, she is a good cook and a good provider within the household. The man will provide deer meat, emphasizing that he's a good hunter and provider as well. And when we look at some of the, you know, historic writings, it was really the woman who prompted the proposal of marriage. And one tradition that we have within our communities that many people still follow today is that you cannot marry someone from your own clan. I mentioned at the beginning, I'm from the Turtle Clan. So it would be incumbent on me to marry somebody not of the Turtle Clan, of one of our other eight clans, because we believe that people of the same clan are related to each other.
That was a taped interview with Haudenosaunee storyteller Perry Ground. You can find more of his stories at turtletalkingstories.com. Check them out. Let's go back to the phones. We've got Chanupa. He's also up in South Dakota listening on Keeley Radio. Hello, big brother. You're on the air. Happy Valentine's.
Hey, happy things. This is a big thing that I want to tell you. So a long time ago, my grandma, my grandpa Roy and my grandma Cecilia Martin, okay, on Pine Ridge, what they did was they did something in an understanding that nobody did. And this is the way we had to say it, okay? They say, Dua Tiakila Hanta, Wuak Shapatile Echana Oyaki, Shatakale Yanke Hanta Takomini Lina Heyano. So see, what grandma and grandpa did, they did this. Everybody, because people don't see it anymore. They don't do that. But my mom, my grandpa, and my grandpa, my grandma Cecilia, and my grandpa Roy, you know what they did? They were the only two that still loved each other completely. And so thank you to all of you that are listening out there. Wopila Kaki Chicha from Pine Ridge.
All right, big brother. Whoopala tonka e chiche to you as well. I've been practicing that. I hope I'm doing okay with my Lakota there, but I'm learning slowly but surely from when Chanupa calls into the show every day. So appreciate that call as well. And anyone else, if you want to join the conversation, 1-800-99-NATIVE. Let's bring Sunny Dooley into the conversation now. She joins us from Chichilta, New Mexico. She is, of course, a very, very well-known storyteller as well. And Sunny, that story we heard earlier from the Onondaga Nation, the falls in that story where people can go and they fall in love and there's this romance. Are there places like that as well for Diné people there along the Navajo Nation, similar places that just spark romance and love?
That makes me laugh. I have no idea.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm from Laguna Pueblo, and I'm thinking about a place called the Midway in Budville. That's where a lot of Lagunas go and spark that feeling. And anybody from Laguna will get that inside joke. But
oh, my goodness.
Well, Sunny,
I
know.
I can...
Yeah, go ahead. What?
Oh, I was just going to say, well, I was just going to start out with my clan.
Okay.
Which is for paramount, really, when it comes to any kind of love connection that anybody wants to make. And so we're matrilineal, so we always identify ourselves by our matrilineal clan. And so that is Shetotik Onjanishla and Tapa Hambashishchin, Kiaani Deshache, Kachitni Deshache, Da Tanahabitni Deshinale, which means that my matrilineal clan is Tohtik Onj. It means a water that is salty, but it actually means water from an artesian spring. And my father's clan is by the water's edge, and my two grandfather clans are Towering House and the Red Forehead people. And then the patrilineal grandfather clan is Tenabihni, and I call that clan the Rock Fortress people. And these four clans I cannot marry into. And so whenever you meet anyone that you find attractive or you get along with really well and, you know, you just kind of sort of have this joy of life with, you always, first and foremost, you must identify your clan groups. And then if you're related, they're off limits. So these four clans in my culture are then related to additional clans. And those additional clans add up to 12 clans that I cannot marry into. And so I was related to everybody in my community, the community which is located 10 miles north of Zuni and 23 miles south of Gallup, is pretty much everybody's related to each other. So all the girls have to go out of the community to marry. And so we have a lot of in-laws into the Jones Ranch, Chichiltra, Vanderwagen, and what is that? There's one other, Bread Springs, I guess, community. We're all kind of related to one another. Mm. So that's kind of like a really long introduction to probably putting a damper on a lot of love stories, so to speak.
No, it's perfect. It's perfect. And I mean, we heard in that earlier story as well from the Onondaga Nation about clans. And I think, you know, I mean, my Pueblo people are the same way, you know, the clans don't intermarry. So I think that's probably pretty much the standard across most Native nations. But at any rate, Sonny, we're going to take a break. And I know you've got a story for us. And we're going to wait until we take that break so you have plenty of time to tell us that whole story. And, of course, we've still got the phone lines open for anyone else who would like to call in and share what you have planned for today on Valentine's Day, or share maybe how you met the love of your life, or any special Valentine's memories you might have. Whatever they are, we've got the phone lines open, 1-800-996-2848. And we've got more with Sonny Dooley on the other side of this break. So happy Valentine's Day, and stay with us. We'll be right back.
Support by Sanofsky Chambers Law, championing tribal sovereignty and Native American rights since 1976, from opioids litigation to treaty rights to tribal self-governance, with offices in Washington, D.C., New Mexico, California, and Alaska. Sanofsky Chambers Law.
Fry bread. That's the message. Support by Val's Fry Bread, providing her famous fry bread mixes and other products in wholesale and retail quantities at valsfrybread.com. Fry bread that will take you home, available wherever you live.
The Alaska Native Art Auction Gala is March 21st, 2025 in Anchorage, Alaska. Please consider donating art and help Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation raise needed funds. Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation's mission is to be the leader in bringing Native voices to Alaska and the nation. With your support, we're able to produce such programs as National Native News, Native America Calling, and more. Donor forms and more information about the auction can be found at knba.org. Anyone who donates art before February 14th will be automatically entered into a drawing to win $500. Did you know that one person can save up to 8 lives and heal dozens more through the gift of organ and tissue donation?
Give hope to thousands of people across the U.S. waiting for a life-saving organ transplant. Learn more about the power of organ, eye, and tissue donation with Life Center Northwest, the organ procurement organization serving all of Alaska at lcnw.org. That's lcnw.org. Support for journalism that raises the awareness of child well-being to citizens and to policymakers provided by the Annie E. Casey Foundation, building a brighter future for children, families, and communities. Information at aecf.org. Trickster Cultural Center in Schaumburg, Illinois hosts a youth powwow May 31st, Pride Celebration June 7th, and the National Gathering of American Indian Veterans July 18th and 19th. Info at TricksterCulturalCenter.org. Who supports this show?
We're glad you're able to join us on Native America Calling today. We're ending your week with traditional love stories. Did you remember to get chocolates for your sweetheart today? I know I sure did. Sugar-free, too. Or do you avoid the commercial part of Valentine's Day and strive to celebrate romance all year long? Either way, join our show. Let us know by calling 1-800-996-2848. That number is also 1-800-99-NATIVE. We've got Sonny Dooley on the line, a very well-known storyteller, a Diné storyteller. Sonny, you've got a love story lined up for us. Are you ready to share it with our listeners?
Of course, yes, yes, yes. First and foremost, let me just say, every broken heart can mend. A heart never breaks. It only bounces back into place. So that's first and foremost, you must always understand that. And I say that because I never got married, and I don't have any children. And when I was young, like right after graduating from college and after my very first serious job, I was engaged. And in that engagement, my fiancé died 1 month prior to the wedding. And even though it was a very sad thing, many years later, I'm actually grateful for that experience because it made me more compassionate and more kind and loving to anyone who has experienced heartbreak and heartache. And then it also defines what the Navajo people utilize as the word for love. And that word is noshne. The word means, it's kind of like a bit of telepathy, a bit of empathy, a bit of sensing. And I think every mother has it with their child where you know something's going on with your kid. And that very deep gut feeling that you get, you kind of know. There's this sense of knowing. And that's what that word noshne means. And so when Navajo people say, ayo anoshne, it means I sense you a lot. I am in almost like a groove with you. And so you're sensing, anticipating, and kind of like being with one another without being together there. Like that first caller who, you know, her husband is in southern Arizona and she's up north, but they're going to be meeting in Denver. You can sense that. They have that notion between the two of them. And my parents were like that. They were had an arranged marriage and they had 10 kids and one child died early on. But my mom and my dad, Joss, absolutely lived for the joy of bringing joy to each other. And honestly, I can say I never saw my parents argue or fight. And I always asked, you know, like, why are you like this? And my mom said, we're raised knowing that our words have actions. And when we say something, we know it's going to happen. And so we are very, very careful about how we interact with each other because it's going to affect our children, it's going to affect our household, and it's going to affect, our words have the power to affect the first great-grandchild. And it just really amazed me all the time to hear that. And now, you know, you hear all these studies that words do have repercussions. And so I always, when I came into my great grandmother's hogan, she always says, "Halan that she which means, what a blessed way I see my prayers walking in front of me." And that was me. So that's, you know, that's my great-grandma, my ancestors just loving me to no end. And when Navajo people get married, you know, they eat out of that Navajo basket that we call tz'ak, that is a symbol for life. And that first wedding meal made out of white corn, which is masculine, and yellow corn, which is feminine, mixed together by a couple who have a good marriage. You know, the couple who have a good marriage, they come, the gentleman comes in and washes the bride and the groom's hand. His wife brings in the cornmeal, and then usually they put corn pollen collected from bluebirds on top of that cornmeal, because those bluebirds mate for life. And they'll chant a song, and they'll say, "Dole, ane, ay, 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 dole, ane, ay, 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 ay," which is, means the bluebird is saying, the bluebird is saying, the bluebird is saying, the bluebird is saying, "In nido, be loving, ajina bato, be kind, ajina bato, you'll abide together in love and kindness." And they sing that song on top of that wedding meal, and then the bride and the groom eat to the east. They dip the food, the cornmeal, to the south, to the west, to the north, and all the way around. And that's the only time they eat out of this this woven basket that is a symbol for life. And then from there on, they say, "You will take care of the fire," to the gentleman. And then they'll say to the woman, "From here, you'll take care of the water." And that's their mutual responsibility to one another, is to keep the fire burning, to keep the water there, to have the plants, you know, the corn, beans, and squash growing. And then they're living literally in the upside-down nest of the bluebird. And that's our hogans. So if you ever go inside a Navajo hogan, it's the shape of a bluebird's nest. And bluebird was the one who brought us the ability to live eternally in kindness, love with each other. And so I saw that with my parents. And it was a virtue to have a good, loving home, you know, with water and fire and food and hospitality and joy and kindness and compassion and empathy for one another. And in Diné way, we call that k'e. And you tell that to your little kids, you know, when they're birthed, you know, it's like, "K'e de no man na de yejo," you know, they'll say that to you, to the little ones, you know. So you always try to encourage to be of a loving nature to one another. So I hope that all of you listening out there, first and foremost, love is powerful. Love is tremendous. And as indigenous people, that is our superpower.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it, you know. We have been everything in the world, but what brings us back together is doliye an, you know, what bluebirds sing about, you know, that strength, that power that is invincible. And we call that love. You know, that's all of our superpowers. And it's just not romantic, you know. It's
right.
Gosh,
right.
You know, yeah.
Sunny, so, let me ask you a quick question. So the bluebird, the significance with the bluebird, and you were just talking, it was cornmeal that you were talking about, but the famous bluebird flower, is that the connection there? that you're describing? Is there any connection there? I mean, I know that's a company in Cortez, Colorado, but I'm just curious. Is there a connection to what you're talking about?
You know that? Yeah, well, some Anglo person picked up instantaneously on the power of the bluebird imagery in our Diné culture and called that, you know, all-purpose flower bluebird. I am a really clean eater and have tried to eliminate all enriched flowered ingredients in my diet.
That's
but,
the way to
you know,
do it.
That bluebird is there, and I'm sure, you know, that's where it came from. But this story comes from my family because the last name Dooley originally was Dole, and Dole is bluebird. And so my father's people, from time immemorial, they've carried forth the story and the songs of bluebird. And when my father joined the military effort that became the Navajo Code Talkers, him and his two brothers, they went down and they just called themselves, "We are the son of Bluebird Man." And the officer said, "We can't have soldiers named Bluebird. We're the sons of Bluebird Man." So they changed the Dole to Dooley. And that's literally how I got my name. And many years later, I asked my dad, I said, "Daddy, how come your name is Dooley and my Nolly's name is Thompson?" And then he said, "Well, you're going to have to go ask him." And that's how I learned how to tell the bluebird story that has a spring, summer, fall, and winter rendition. And my Nalahasti, his name was Dooley Thompson, you know, he says, "This story is in our lineage." And then he says, "How I got the last name, my last name as Thompson, is because when I found out my son was named Tom, I went to the trader and I said, 'Sha Thompson, Tom, Sha son,' you know." And that's how he got the name Thompson. Mm-hmm. And then he says, "They just changed the Dole to Tuli." And that's a whole nother influx of, you know, getting first and last names. But, you know, in all of that, you know, the love for stories remained. And, so I don't know how Cortez Milling Company picked up that bluebird emblem, but don't we love it all?
Yeah, we sure do. Even that now they're making clothing out of the flower sacks and everything, the aprons and stuff like that. Sonny, we're going to go to the phones. We've got Margie listening in Taos, New Mexico, on station KUNM. Margie, hello. Happy Valentine's Day. You're on the air.
Well, thank you. I met my husband in the laundromat, and that was really funny. Just doing our laundry. But my question is, because I was living in Los Angeles, and there are millions of men, and so, and I had other dates, but my question is, how do we recognize each other?
How do we recognize each other? Give me a little bit more context with that question, Margie.
I've been on the mat many times, and I didn't talk to anybody, and I didn't have anybody pick me up, you know?
Okay. Okay, well, you know what? Let's ask Yari that, because she talks earlier about when she met her husband, and they were both admiring each other, but hadn't said anything. And Yari, chime in here. How do you spot that person, the one? How do you recognize the one? You've got experience there.
I really liked his personality from a distance. I like how he carried himself. His values, from what I was seeing, were the same as mine. Like, how do I explain it? He wasn't, like, giving all the other girls attentions or... he was just very classy and respectful. And the way he walked, the way he carried himself, the way he spoke to me, how he was so respectful and kind to me. And I just knew, watching him, he reminded me of my father's values, the way my father carried himself as a man. That's what he reminded me of, and that's how I fell in love with him.
Yari, do you think, can people find love like that, or does it just happen? What do you think?
I think both ways. I mean, yeah. You never know. You could have a spur of the moment, or you can, over time, fall in love with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I believe both.
Right, right. Yari, what about the romantic traditions, the love stories there on St. Lawrence Island? Does the community have any celebrations or any types of activities about similar to what we're talking about today with other Native nations?
Well, we still practice traditional and engagement way of marriage. We don't do arranged marriages anymore, but we practice, some people say we have the longest engagement marriage way of life. There's a process. When a man and a woman, before they marry, the elder clan leaders, we have a clan system. The clan leaders will meet and they'll talk about hand in marriage for their grandkids or their great nephew, great niece, son, daughter, whatever have you. And then what happens next is the grandfather might go to the girl and say, so and so's grandfather came to speak to me for your hand in marriage. What do you think about that? It actually happened to me in real life with my first marriage. My grandfather came to me and said, so-and-so's grandfather came to see me, and he wants you to marry his grandson, and I wanted you to know that and ask you how you feel about it. And I said to my grandfather, do I have time to think about it? And he said, absolutely. Because I was only 18 and fresh out of high school. But anyway, I think I cried for the whole 2 weeks hiding in my bedroom because I wasn't sure what to do. And 2 weeks go by, my grandfather calls me to his house, and he told me that I was disrespecting an elder, that I made him wait too long, and that I needed to give them an answer. By that day, what made it easier for me to decide was when my grandfather asked me these questions. Do you think this man will take good care of you? Yes. Do you think he'll be a provider? Yes. Do you love this man? Yes. Do you want to marry him? Yes. So that process is called Arnangshak.
Arnangshak. All right. Yari, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, but we're out of time. We're going to have to wrap up our Valentine's edition of Native America Calling now. But big thanks to the guests who joined us today, Yari Walker, Sunny Dooley, and Perry Ground, and also the callers who contributed to the conversation. We'll start next week with a live show about what's on the minds of indigenous Inuit people of Greenland regarding current talk about the United States annexing the autonomous territory. And with that, big thanks to our hardworking crews in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and Anchorage, Alaska for making this show possible. I'm Sean Spruce. Have a great weekend.
Sea Renewal's expertise in energy, housing, land use, fire protection, and more in multi-jurisdictional environments helps tribes leverage existing assets, grow capacity, and gain competitive advantage. Sea Renewal supports this show. SEERenewal.com. Skugtash. For more than 40 years, Ramona Farms has revived ancient traditional foods. Tepary beans, pinoli, polentas, and more, all from store.ramonafarms.com. Ramona Farms supports this show. Repatriation is the return of ancestors and stolen culture. The Association on American Indian Affairs and the Tunica Biloxi Tribe will host the 10th Annual Repatriation Conference February 25th, 26th, and 27th, 2025 in Marksville, Louisiana. The conference will provide expert hands-on training about domestic and international repatriation. Registration and more information available at Indian-Affairs.org. The Association on American Indian Affairs supports this show.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service.
got to hold that trim for me.
He hold it for a century.
I'll really go insane if I miss that train.
Oh, that sunny Caroline.
I wrote the folks, I'm coming home. Oh, my.
You better treat you like the king of Rome.
Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, friends, when this journey ends, paradise you will find. Come along, come along, come along to Caroline, who I invite you. Now what do you say?
You can bet $1 million, boy, that I'll go with you too.
When we get to our destination, you'll meet Mara.